John chapter 9, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 9 and verse 32 to 38. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we ask, please, help me, Lord, as I preach. I pray that, Lord, you would use this truth. I wish it to be a help and an encouragement to each person here. And yet, Father, I also pray that, Lord, you would do what only you can do in those that are without you, and Lord, those that don't know you as their Savior. We love you and we need you this morning. Please help us as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Keep your Bible open there to John chapter 9. I want to go up to the first part of the chapter here, and we'll kind of show you here just a little bit. If you look at chapter 9, verse 1, and look at verse 1 there, it says, And Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now our text verse is verse 35, when Jesus said, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? But the first part of the chapter is interesting in that the disciples said, Here's this man that is a beggar and he's blind on the side, and they said, Lord, who sinned? How come this guy is blind? Did his parents sin, or is this his fault? Well, it's a little goofy question. If he's born blind, it's obviously nothing he did before he was struck with blindness. And I like Jesus' answer. Watch this. Jesus answered, verse 3, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parent, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Did you know that if I use this, and this is not this morning's sermon, but the whole chapter we're kind of using this, and I wanted to just draw attention to it. Man's typical viewpoint of problems and trouble is that it's the person that did wrong. And that's found other places in the Bible, but that's most, in other words, when something bad happens, most people say, who can I blame? Whose fault is it? And Jesus said, it's neither his parents' fault. In this case, it's neither his parents' fault nor him. This man was born blind for one reason, so that God could work a miracle through him. And people could see God's power through him. And I think sometimes that helps us as a Christian. If we aren't careful, we get caught up into the, whose fault is it and things like that. Then Jesus heals the man. If you look at verse number 6, John chapter 9, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, Jesus did, and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam. I think that's such a neat story. I can't help but think the disciples watching this, what's he doing? I just try to picture the story in my mind, but if you picture Jesus kneeling down and gathering up some dirt and putting it in his hand, he just didn't go, pff. It'd take a lot of spit to make mud. I mean, he went, pff, 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 pff. And he's doing that, and then he's mixing it, and I think the disciples are going, what's he doing? Pff, 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 pff. I can't help but think, if I'd been there, I was like, you need some help? I go, I'm sure Jesus would have said, I got it, it's all right. So here's Jesus mixing the mud in his hand with this dirt, and then he covers the man's eyes and says, now go wash. The man goes and washes in the pool, and can you imagine him seeing? This man was born blind. He's never seen color. He's never seen anything. And can you imagine as the vision starts coming back, oh, but Jesus he can't find. Because he had to go to the pool of Siloam, and he has to go there and he washes the clay off, and now he's got his eyes, and I think, I can't help but think, but the first person that he's looking for is, where is he? Where's the man that just healed me and gave my eyesight back? I can see! And then of course, if you'll read the chapter, it causes a whole ruckus. He does it on the Sabbath day, which is Saturday, and the Jews didn't appreciate that. But they start asking, who made you see? He said, I don't know. He said, what do you know of Jesus? He's a prophet. Well, give God the glory. And he goes, the Pharisees are downgrading Jesus. He's a sinner. And I love the answer of the blind man. Look at verse number 25. He answered and said, the blind man who got healed, and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, I don't know who he is. I just know he's a wonderful person because I used to be blind and he healed me and I have my sight. As you look at this story, I think in verse number 34, it says, they cast him out. That means they cast him out of the synagogue. His parents are scared to death. Earlier in the chapter, they say, is this your son? Was he born blind? And they say, yeah, this is our son, and he was born blind. Well, how does he see now? The Pharisees are going, who made him see? And his parents are scared to death. Yes, this is our son, and he was born blind. How he's seeing, I don't know. He's an adult. You ask him, because if anybody said Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Bible says here that you would be cast out of the synagogue. What that means is this. In Judaism, if you were cast out of the temple, you no longer could have employment. You lost your job. This is a Jewish society. That means you would lose your job. That also means you could not stay in any home. If somebody said you don't have a place to stay, then we'll keep you. If they were found keeping you in their house, they also would be cast out. And they would lose their job and their place of, so, to say that they'd be cast out of the temple, this is very severe here. And this man who gains his sight out, if you just look at the end of verse 34, it says, they cast him out. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. What a statement. He's looking right at him. He said, who is he, Lord? You show him. And he said, it was me that healed you. Lord, I believe. And then he worshiped him. I love this story. Jesus knew that this was a man who did not draw his opinions from the masses. What the religious crowd said did not matter to this man. Jesus knew the soil of his heart was good, and that's why our Savior says he sought him out in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, that means Jesus went looking for him. And he finds this man, I'm sure, I don't know what he was doing. I'm sorry, I need to turn this on, don't I? I'm sure they, if you picture it happening, I don't know what's going on, but as soon as they kick him out, I'm sure he's got all types of thoughts. You realize in the past hour, he's gained his sight, been through huge questioning, and now he's an outcast. And when we say an outcast, he's lost his job, his home, he's lost all of this, and he's sitting down going, wow, it's been quite a day. It's been quite a day. And here, I wanted to draw attention, I should have put this on here earlier too. Jesus knew, he sought this man out and finds him. And I believe God knew he could give him more light. I want to just draw attention, first of all, just think about the story. The Lord Jesus spoke to this man personally and privately. Jesus asked him a very personal, pointed question. If you look at verse 35, Jesus asked him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? It's the preacher's job, it's my job, to publicly preach the Word of God. But listen closely. It is every Christian's duty to talk to people personally and privately about their soul and where they will spend eternity when they die. I do it publicly. Now, if you want to gather a group of people together and you say, hey, we're going to have a preaching meeting over here under this, you know, by the bus stop or, you know, before they come, if you want to do that, that's fine. But it's the pastor's job normally to give the gospel publicly and privately. But listen closely, it's every Christian's job to give the gospel privately. And Jesus gives us the example here. And I know what people say nowadays. Well, I don't talk about politics or religion because it's personal. I do not understand that. First of all, if we're not talking about politics, then the politicians get away with anything they want. We should know of the shenanigans they're pulling up in the White House. Up in the White House, click, 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 the sound of their pens will make you sick. Okay. We should know. If you don't know, you say, well, I don't talk about religion and I don't talk about politics. Wait a second. You ought to know what's going on in politics. I think it's shameful. I'm not going to stay on the whole thing this morning, but I cannot for the life of me figure out how come they can't put Hillary Clinton in jail. She's above the law. She's above the law. And people are more interested in getting a woman president than they are what she stands for. It's just like Barack Obama. They were more interested in having the first black president than considering anything he believed. They were more interested in the novelty of the idea than they are what does he stand for. And now we regret it. Now we regret it. Well, I don't talk about religion or politics. You say, why are you on this? Because Jesus gives us an example here. He goes and finds the man and he privately and personally and pointedly asks him a question. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Well, I don't talk about religion. Can I ask you a question? Why? To me, if I care about you, then the greatest way I could express my love to you is ask you, if you died today, do you know where you'll spend eternity? Oh, I don't talk religion. But if I love you, I care about you enough to care about your soul. Well, that's personal. It took a personal question from Jesus, and I think that's all of our jobs. We're supposed to ask the question, if you died today, do you know where you'll spend eternity, heaven or hell? That's our job. And watch this. If we follow that, I put in the outline this morning. Jesus said here, you see, I don't talk, 1 Peter 3:15, God tells us this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. God says we're supposed to always be ready. If somebody came up and said, I'd like to be saved, could you take the Bible and show them? Be ready always to give an answer to every man. How come you're not troubled at what's going on in the world? If somebody asked you that, could you answer them? Well, the world's in the mess because Jesus is coming. That's why. Jesus is coming. And here, are you going to be left behind or are you going to get to go with us? Do you have a reservation in heaven? Could you take the Bible and show them? Be ready always to give an answer to every man. I like what Jesus said. He told us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's every Christian's job. Jesus' pointed question was to this man who had just received his sight, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus asked him when he was alone. Jesus didn't ask him when he was in the crowd. You see, I found it's best to privately win people because if you embarrass people, they normally give the answer that brings the least resistance. If you ask a man on the work job, you know, and he's with his work buddies and it's a, hey, do you know where you're going to spend eternity when you die? And he'll look at his friends and go, sure, heaven. Because that's a pretty cut answer. You don't want to embarrass people. But here Jesus said, go to them privately and gives us this example. James chapter 2 verse 19 says this, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You see, this is America, and pretty much everybody believes in God. This is America. Everybody, though, is not saved. James 2:19 says, you believe in God, the devils also believe, but we know that the devils are going to be cast into hell.
We know that the devils are going to be cast into the lake of fire. So my boss used to tell me that I welded for. And, you know, I went to ask him the question. And it's the same thing. I'm a God-fearing man. I fear God. Don't want to go any further. I fear God. Fearing God won't get you into heaven. Believing in God won't get you into heaven. That's why Jesus says here, dost thou believe on the Son of God? That's the question. Do you believe on the Son of God? This man, if you'll think about it, that just gained his eyesight, that Jesus is talking to, he was religious, but he could recognize the Savior. He could not recognize the Savior who was standing right next to him. The question Jesus asked him helped him see his need. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Think about it. You see, Jesus always tries to zero in on us. Could you take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 16? Keep your finger there in John chapter 9. We'll come back to that in just a second. But look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse number 13. Matthew 16 and verse number 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, verse number, chapter 16 and verse number 13. Watch this. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and other of the prophet, or one of the prophets. And then look at what Jesus said. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Do you know why that's such an important question? Because it's not important what our church stands for is what we believe about the Lord Jesus. But what we believe will not get you to heaven. He asked the disciples, what am I to you personally? Whom say ye that I am? Who do the people say that I am? Elijah. You're Jeremiah. Who am I to you? Who am I to you? And when, you see, Jesus dying for the sins of the whole world, that doesn't get you into heaven. It's when you accept the fact that Jesus died for you, not us. Jesus suffered in your place. In your place. Here, Jesus starts with a big group, and he gets personal. Now you're in Matthew 16. I'd like you to go back to John while I read you these verses here. You go back to John chapter 9. You see, it's a commandment to be saved and believe on the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:23 says, this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:15 says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that believeth him that begatteth loveth him also that is begotten of him. So God starts big, and God always narrows it in and makes the specific question. When I read about how David slept with another man's wife and had her husband killed, God took a prophet, Nathan, and went to him and personally said, thou art the man. You did this. He did it personally. He did it privately. Jesus dealt privately with people, and I believe we should also. He went to Nicodemus by night in John chapter 3. The woman that was caught in adultery in John chapter 8. Jesus spoke with her after the crowd leaves. If we could act right like we're in church and not in a theater, it would help. Okay, don't be a distraction. Be nice if you're looking at your Bible and participating with us. The Pharisees had not believed on Jesus Christ. This man did not join in with the Pharisees who had set themselves against the Lord. Jesus is seeming to say to this man who just gained his eyesight, I see how wrongly they have treated you, and I also see your courage to stand against them. But the Pharisees don't believe on me. Dost thou believe in the Son of God? Jesus looks at this man and he says, you haven't partaken with people who stood against me. But that doesn't mean you're saved. And if we aren't careful, we say, oh, they're good. They go to church. They don't criticize God. They don't stand against the Lord. They must be going to heaven. This man is the same thing. He just gains his eyesight, and Jesus comes to him and says, I'm glad you didn't fight me. You didn't join in with the crowd. But do you believe? Do you believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe? You see, there's some people who say, I've never fought God. I've never stood against God. But you see, that doesn't mean that they're going to heaven. You can be good. You can be conservative. You can be religious. You can be patriotic and still not be saved. I'll never forget the headlines when Lucille Ball died. Where's Lucy? Where's Lucy? The lady that made America laugh. Lucille Ball's in hell. She never trusted Christ as her Savior. No, she made a lot of people laugh. All the memories of it, you know, as far as, Ricky. You know, I mean, I grew up with that stuff. You understand? But we have a tendency to think, oh, she was such a, oh, I mean, we laughed at her. And then the headlines, when she dies, where's Lucy? The world doesn't know. Lucy's in hell. She never trusted Jesus as her Savior. The crowd that she ran with. That's why this man had suffered, the man who gained his eyesight. He had suffered for Jesus' sake and was still asked the most important question in the world. They had abused him. They had degraded this man in John chapter 9. Jesus knew that this man had suffered, but that was not enough. Jesus still asks him the question, dost thou believe on the Son of God? You may have been laughed at for reading your Bible. You may have been scorned for inviting someone to church, but that isn't enough. To believe that Jesus is a good man and that he was sent from God is not enough. Jesus asked the question, dost thou believe on the Son of God? There must be a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he is God Almighty in the flesh. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. He was God in the flesh who came to die for our sins. Moral changes, making a turning over a good leaf. Moral changes are good, but they're not enough to get you to heaven. Social reform is good, but it's not enough to get you to heaven. Turning over a new leaf is admirable. I'm glad you did, but that is not enough to get you into heaven. You must be born again. Amen. You must be born again. Jesus asked the pointed question, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Listen closely. You can go to hell as an atheist or a religious person of any denomination, but the only way you are regenerated or saved by the Holy Spirit is by placing your faith in the blood that Jesus shed for you. Jesus hints at the reasonableness of this man believing on Jesus Christ. Chapter 9, verse number 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus is seeming to say this. Now, he just healed him. Then he gets cast out. Then Jesus finds him, and I'm sure the man's sitting there on a curb going, wow, what a day. And Jesus comes to him and he says, he seems to say, I've done a lot for you. Now do you believe on the Son of God? Everybody here would say, well, he should believe. I mean, good grief, the Lord just healed his eyes. Why wouldn't this guy believe? Did you know there's a lot of people on the earth that God's done a lot for? And God's worked in their life in a beautiful way, and they still haven't trusted Him as their Savior. Jesus comes to this man who He had just healed. He's getting ready to reveal to this man that it is Jesus that healed him, and Jesus says, I've done a lot for you. Do you believe? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? You see, I call Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says this, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What is it that leads us to repentance? One of the things that gets us to repent is how good God's been in your life. When I think of before I got saved, all the near-death experiences, yeah, I was almost killed several times. And I look at it and I say, wow, God was keeping me alive. I don't know your life, but could you think about your life just for a second? The goodness of God is supposed to lead you to repentance. The goodness of God is supposed to... That's why we sang the song, I just want to thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. There's supposed to be a gratitude. Wow, look what God's done. God's been good to me. God has fed me. God's clothed me. I have this. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Jesus hints to this man the reasonableness of him trusting Christ. You see, let me show you how important believing is, okay? Would you think with me just for a second? If someone who does not know me, they've never met me, if I tell them something and they say, I don't believe you, I think you're lying to me, that wouldn't hurt as bad as if somebody who knew me and knew my testimony and that I was a friend with said, I don't believe you. Now that would hurt. That would hurt. Do you know what it's like? God says here, it's in 1 John chapter 5, just listen. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he testifieth of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Believing the word of God and not believing the word of God determines on whether you think God's a liar or not. In believing his word. Believing his word. Okay? Jesus seems to say to this man, your eyes have been opened. Do you not believe on the Son of God? And it seems God wants me to remind every person without Christ that you have had warnings, invitations, privileges. You've seen the hand of God stretched out on your behalf. And if you don't believe on God's Son, then surely you are unreasonable because of what God has done in your life and how God has helped you and protected you. Jesus gives the best comfort to this man who's in trouble. The best comfort is this. Keep in mind, verse 35. I'm back at John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now listen closely. Here, this is a man that has just lost his job, just lost his home. This man is a true outcast. Jesus comes to him, and in order to comfort him, he says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus didn't try to comfort him with the fact that he did right. Although there is some comfort in that. Here's the man, he's lost his job, he doesn't have a place to live, and Jesus comes to him and says, dost thou believe? He did not say, hey, you stood for the truth, good job. Although there is some comfort in that, and that's what I'm trying to tell you, but Jesus didn't use that. Jesus didn't come to this man and he didn't try to comfort him with the fact that he wasn't like those sinful Pharisees. Although I think there is a little bit of comfort in the badness of others, Jesus didn't say to him, well, at least you're not like them dirty Pharisees that all they can do is cuss me and, you know, they never believe me and, boy, at least you're not like them. There's a little bit of comfort there, but that's not what Jesus said to this outcast, to this man who was cast out. To this man that was cast out, Jesus says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus didn't come to him and comfort him by trying to point out to him that this wasn't that bad. They didn't, you know, Jesus didn't walk up and say, well, you got your eyesight back and I know you lost your house and you lost your job, but hey, at least they didn't stone you. At least they didn't, you know, cut your head off. Aren't you glad? Isn't that, hey, could have been worse. He's not comforting him in that way. He comes to him and listen closely, how he comforts this man who is, and I would say losing your job, losing your house. I would say, yes, he gained his eyesight. He's in a new world. I think his head's spinning. Okay, it's like, But how Jesus comforts him is he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Do you believe? If I had you, so listen closely. This morning, if you've been mistreated, if you've been hurt, if you've been taken advantage of, if you've been slandered, if you have been made fun of, then could I ask you this question this morning? Do you believe on the Son of God? Then that comfort is available to you. You say, what comfort? Did you know that if Jesus said, if you're saved, in Luke 10:20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. If you're saved this morning, if you believe on the Son of God, Jesus said you can rejoice that your name is written in heaven. It's supposed to be a comfort. It doesn't take care of the problem that you're going through, but it comforts you in the problem. I know this happened to me. I may have been in a car wreck. I may have had this tragedy happen. But I know my name is written in heaven. Hey, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus offers this. Do you realize you, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you are one with the Lord Jesus. Do you realize if you're saved this morning, He bore your sin and your affliction. Did you know if you're saved this morning, He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's with you in the whole thing. He doesn't say, well, I hope it works out all right. God bless you. I'm praying for you. When you leave today, I can't go with you to your house, but the Lord is if you're saved. I wish more Christians would understand that. It's like, well, we come to church to be with God and then we go home. Isn't God in your home? Isn't the Lord there? Then Christian, whatever you're going through, whatever pressure you're feeling, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And it's not just a question as if you're saved. It's saying, Christian, do you know what you have available to you in this pain? In the struggle? And if you aren't careful, we take the simple Christian, American Christianity that says, well, you live one way at church and you live one way at home. God's everywhere, and if you're saved, He lives in you. He's closer to you than your next breath. And you can talk to Him anytime you want. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Are you saved? Then if you are you using what's available to you? You're not alone. You'll never be alone again if you're saved. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a comfort? That's a comfort that only the Christian have. I honestly don't understand how the world makes it. I don't know how they make it without the Lord. They go through their pain and their disappointments, and yeah, I guess it's not right, but I guess I understand why they go drinking. I guess I understand why they do their pot and their drugs. They don't have the Lord. Child of God, Christian, you have Jesus, and if you're saved, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a resource that is available to you that I know goes untapped. I know goes untapped. You see, when Jesus asked, if you have trouble like this man who gained his eyesight but lost his home and his job, then faith in the Lord Jesus is the best cure for every one of your cares. It's not a cop-out. It's true comfort. When Jesus asked the man this question, it was this man's opportunity to confess Christ. I love reading. You're in John chapter 9. We're almost done. But we'll look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. You know, one thing God says we're supposed to do in the Bible, once we get saved, we're supposed to confess the Lord before men. Now, you can do that in your neighborhood if you want, but they don't understand because they're lost. You can do that at your job if you want. Hey, so-and-so got saved. But they don't understand. You know where we confess Christ? In church. If you've been saved and you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you've never openly confessed Him, Lord, I believe, where you do that in church, you know what happens? If you've been saved, you come forward, I'll fill out a card and I'll say, this is so-and-so, and they're making their salvation public. They want everybody to know that they've trusted the Lord. And then I say, if you're glad about that, say amen. And then what do? We say amen and we rejoice, right? That's confessing Christ before men. And here is just Jesus and this man. And Jesus gives this man an opportunity to confess with his mouth, Lord, I believe. I believe in you. I'm trusting you. And Jesus hasn't even died for his sins yet. But I believe you're God Almighty in the flesh. And if anybody could die for my sins, you can. This morning's sermon is called, Dost Thou Believe on the Son of God? You say, oh, are you talking to lost people? People that have not trusted Jesus as their Savior? I may be. But this morning's sermon was for saved people. This morning's sermon was, I'd like to ask you, Christian, do you believe on the Son of God? Oh, why, of course! Do you talk to Him? You have someone available that can help you. Do you use Him? Do you give Him your problems, or are you getting an ulcer? Do you talk to Him and give Him your problems, or are you on the verge of a nervous breakdown? Because you can have one, saved or lost. And if you want, you can let your life be pulled tight. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? If you're saved this morning, He lives in you. He lives in you. And you have a beautiful resource. To you, I want it to be a comfort. Now, if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't have that peace in my heart. Then can I just tell you how wonderful it is and how free getting saved is? It's available to every person. But God won't make you get saved. You have to choose Christ. And in just a minute, we're going to have an invitation and I'm going to ask a question. And if you're lost this morning, if you raise your hand, you can come down front and I'll have somebody take the Bible and just simply and lovingly show you how to be saved. Because it's so wonderful. Christian, let's go back to you. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Are you getting strength from His Word every day? Are you reading the Bible? Or do you just know you should? Well, this is America. Come on now, I'm busy. What you believe ought to affect your lifestyle. Amen. What you believe should affect your priorities. And I don't want to be guilty of reading the newspaper more than I read the Bible. And I don't want to be guilty of being on the phone more than I'm reading my Bible. Because I have a resource. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your Word. Thank you for this wonderful story in your Word. And I wish, please, for us to be able to use it this morning as your children. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just need to ask the question, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Is there anybody here you say, Preacher, I don't know if I died if I'd go to heaven. I'd like to, though. I'd like to.